Surely you've heard of athletes going from baseball to basketball or even pro football to pro wrestling, but never have you heard of someone switching from, of all things, inline skating to the world of fighting. But that's exactly what Mike Butnick has done. The vert and street skating veteran made his MMA debut last September, and thus far he is 6-0 with 3 submissions and 2 knockouts on his resume. A very impressive start to a now promising MMA career. Mike, welcome to MMA Rated Radio.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to be talking with you, and really one of the rising stars in the world of mixed martial arts. I think with you, there's so many places where we could start this interview, but I think I want to start at the beginning. Like I said, you're very well known in the world of inline skating. People have seen you on the X Games, the Gravity Games, and now you make your transition into the world of mixed martial arts after some time off from that extreme sports world. Why make the move over to the world of fighting?
Well, it's a little bit of an interesting story. I decided to give up the aggressive skating. I had 2 little girls here in the past couple of years, and you know, the aggressive world with the skateboarding, the biking, the rollerblading, all that stuff was getting pretty crazy. People were doing some pretty dangerous stuff, and I just didn't want to. I mean, I'd had a long career. I'd been doing it for over 10 years, and I'd seen my success, and it was about that time to hang it up and move away and start raising my kids and get into something a little safer. And for about 2 years there, 2 to 3 years, I focused on the health club industry. I actually still work in a health club right now as a general manager of a health club. And I honestly just got into it as a hobby. I got into taking jiu-jitsu classes and things like that. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, so I'm not too unfamiliar with fighting, I guess. But yeah, I started training with some of my friends, doing jiu-jitsu, taking jiu-jitsu classes out in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And from there, a couple of the guys were getting involved in MMA, and they were asking me if I would help them train, teach them a little jiu-jitsu, kind of give them a little workout or whatever. And I realized that while I was doing it, I'm sitting here training with guys who weighed, you know, 205 pounds, 185 pounds, and I was giving them a harder time than the guys they were competing against. I was like, maybe I should give this a try. So about a year and a half ago, I decided to step in the ring and give it a try myself.
And certainly so far, so good for you. Was this a sport? Obviously, MMA has only been around for, you know, really around 15 years in North America as a mainstream sport, and only in the last 5 years has it really blown up. But prior to getting involved as an athlete yourself, were you a fan of the UFC and maybe even Pride, things like that, or did you really not, you know, keep your finger on the pulse of the sport?
Well, I was a huge fan. I remember back in I'm a little bit older than most of the guys who are just getting involved in it right now, but I remember back in the early 90s watching Hoyce Gracie fight in the UFC. Which, for me, being a littler guy, I mean, I'm not walking around at 200 pounds like the average guy out there. To see Hoyce Gracie going to the UFC weighing 170 pounds and competing against guys that weighed 250 pounds and just not just beating them, but really dominating them, it was always a big draw for me. So I've been watching it since the beginning.
Now, in doing research about your career, there was some articles stating that you were interested in getting into the world of professional golf and that you're actually a scratch golfer. I don't think you could find 2 sports that are completely different than each other, from golf and MMA. Why not pursue the world of golf?
I actually did pursue the world of golf. It was just really expensive.
Oh, okay.
Back when I was skating, I had a there was only so much time I could spend training and skating. It was a pretty brutal training regimen. You take a lot of falls, a lot of bumps and bruises, so you get tired pretty quick. I had a lot of time on my hands, especially during the week. All of our events were over the weekend. So Monday through Friday, I lived across the street from the golf course. This was about 10 years ago, and I'd always played a little bit of golf here and there, and I just decided, hey, why don't I give this a try, and got myself some good lessons from one of the top pros out there and just dove headfirst into it. And I mean, I played at I think I played 13 pro events over the years. Most of them were just ones that I qualified for. And I was never a major part of any tour or anything like that. I actually was a little bit better than a scratch golfer. And again, I just picked it up as a hobby and, I don't know, just kept going from there.
I think it's safe to say that you're really like the athlete of the 21st century, playing all these sort of unconventional sports. Not to say that golf is very unconventional, but not one of the, you know, 4 mainstream sports. But when you look at inline skating and MMA, certainly in inline skating, you can definitely have a ton of gruesome injuries, but also in mixed martial arts, some people would think it's even more dangerous than it really is. Comparing the two, which one have you, you know, kind of gotten more banged up in while competing professionally?
without a doubt, skating. I mean, in mixed martial arts, it looks more physically, ferocious, I guess, just because there is more blood involved. You see, you watch a lot of fights and people get cut open and there's blood here and blood there or whatever. But to be honest with you, if you're even to compare MMA to boxing, you see boxers out there getting punched hundreds of times in the head. And just because their hands are padded a little bit, you don't see the injuries. You don't see big cuts or anything like that. Whereas MMA, you get hit once and you get a bad cut and the fight stops. So, and to compare it to skating, nothing compares to what I did to my body through skating. There was one point where I went to see a doctor and he said that my back was fused together worse than most of his 70-year-old patients. So, what I did to my body through skating was unquestionably way worse than MMA.
I couldn't agree with you more, especially on the boxing front. I mean, 12 rounds of getting straight jabs to the head is really nothing compared to, you know, being choked out for 10 seconds or even getting one flash knockout. So I think once the sport grows a little more, people will understand what, you know, how much more safe MMA is than as opposed to boxing. But like I said, you started your career just last September, not even a rookie. You haven't even finished your rookie year just yet, and 6-0. That first fight, you were in the Extreme Fighting League in September of 2007. You enter the cage for the first time. Is there a moment where you're thinking, what the hell have I gotten myself into? Or were you calm, cool, and collected from the get-go?
Actually, the first fight was way easier than the second fight, because the second fight I knew I was getting into. When I went into the first fight, I played hockey. I played ice hockey my whole life. Like I said, I grew up in Brooklyn. I wrestled my whole life, and I'm pretty well-trained in jiu-jitsu. So that first fight, I went in there with all the confidence in the world, and nothing shocked me as much as that first punch right to the head that I took. But it woke me up. I got through that fight. But I'll tell you, the second fight, going into the second fight, knowing exactly what was going on, I took the fight on short notice. It was a pretty big event. It was a King of the Cage event, and I could barely even stand up for my second fight. I had to be carried out to the ring. My knees were shaking so much. But so the first fight wasn't so bad. The second fight really got to me. And since then, I've gotten much, much more comfortable, and I'm fine with it now.
Yeah, that second fight against Johnny Flores at King of the Cage, as you mentioned, only 3 weeks after your first fight. So, and then your next one came 2 weeks later. So you really made up for lost time, you could say. Is it tough for a guy like you who's competed on NBC, ESPN, and all that to sort of start over in a new sport and not really being in the limelight and having to pay your dues in a whole other different field? Is that something hard to adjust to, or are you kind of growing along with the sport?
Well, it is. It's a little of both. I never really got into MMA with the intention. When I was back skating, I intended on trying to become a professional skater and compete in the X Games and do all that stuff. With MMA, I really only got involved with it just as a hobby. I mean, I love the training. The relationships and the friendships you build with other fighters is second to none. I mean, only another fighter really knows what you're putting yourself through training. So I really only got involved in MMA with the purpose of just training, and the fighting part of it kind of came as an after effect. I started doing the fighting just as a hobby, as something to do. I have a good job. I wasn't looking to make money. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the training of it. And when I saw myself training with the other guys, I was like, man, I could do this. And I just decided to give it a shot. There are parts of it that are a little bit weird for me now, because on the skating side, I've been through the whole business aspect of something like this. I've dealt with sponsors before. I've been on TV before. I've done all that before. So to be in a sport where I'm at the infant stages of that, and I'm just getting to the point where, again, I'm talking to sponsorship possibilities, and I'm like, man, I've done this for years and years and years, and they kind of approach it as if I'm this new guy to it or whatever. But I mean, it's all fun. It's at the end of the day, I'm having a great time. I absolutely love the training. I love the fighting, and the fact that anybody's even looking at me or watching me do it, it's just icing on the cake.
Is it safe to say that you are now starting a revolution of skaters going into the world of MMA? Because I'm sure you've heard of Jason Ellis, the famous skateboarder, now going to make his MMA debut for Team Tony Hawk at the upcoming Sport Fight event. What do you think of now guys sort of following in your footsteps?
Well, I hadn't heard anything about all that stuff, but I mean, this kind of lifestyle, I think there are a lot of ties between the MMA lifestyle and the skating lifestyle. So I anticipate that over the years, the differences between the two will become smaller, and a lot of the same people are interested in those two different types of sports. Even though on paper they look pretty different, they are kind of an alternate to your everyday baseball, basketball, hockey, or whatever. But yeah, they are similar lifestyles, so I anticipate a lot of guys getting involved in both of them.
Yeah, and I would assume that the adrenaline rush that you experience, you know, when you're skating and at the same time when you're fighting, could be very similar, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little bit different with the skating. You get those rushes a lot just through practice. When you go to competitions, you kind of almost a hair water down what you're doing because it's a competition run. When you're doing a street course or a vert competition, you want to make sure you're doing stuff that you're going to land. You want to do tricks that you're going to land. It's in training when you're trying the crazy stuff, and when you land it, you get that rush, that sense of accomplishment. That's just it's unbelievable. When you land a trick that you never landed before, it just feels great. With MMA, man, there's none of that during training. During training, you're just getting beat up all the time, like every day, just beat up. But when you get in that ring and man, your knees are shaking, and before the fight, you spend all day with the anxiety of knowing that. I mean, you get in a bar fight or something like that, and I mean, your adrenaline kicks in as soon as it happens, and you don't even realize what happened. But an event where you're scheduled to fight at 9 o'clock at night, you wake up that morning knowing you're going to get in a fight that night. The anxiety wears on you all day long. However, when you win your fight, after the fight's done, I don't know, man. The rush you get at that moment, I've never felt in my life. I mean, I skated in the X Games in the middle of the Staples Center with 40,000 people around me, and nothing compares to standing in that cage and raising your hand when you're done after a win.
You know, I mentioned that a lot of MMA fans might not know who you are just yet, but I'm sure if someone would show them the video of you knocking out Kenny Giddens at the Extreme Fight League event in November of 07, knocked him out in 1:07, the highest rated video on MMArated.com, they would surely know who you are because that was one of the most vicious, very much reminiscent of when Nate Quarry got knocked out by Rich Franklin, just like a ton of bricks, stiffened up and fell. What were your thoughts when you saw Kenny just sort of fall like a big tree, a big redwood after it's cut down?
I mean, that whole fight, I was kind of shocked because Kenny's known as a wrestler. He's a really, really, really strong wrestler. He's got a really solid base on the ground. But I'm known for my jiu-jitsu. My jiu-jitsu is a more technical and more clean jiu-jitsu than you see out of the wrestlers. The wrestlers try to power their way through things. I like the more technical, use a lot more leverage and technique than power. And he knew that, so he didn't want to stay on the ground with me because he thought he had a better chance standing. So when we were standing, I saw that when I was trying to set up my takedowns to get it to the ground, every time I kind of faked a little shot, he would drop his hands. And it's something I use a ton when I'm sparring with heavyweights. Nobody, as a 155-pound guy, it hurts pretty bad when you get hit by a guy that weighs 240 pounds. So I technically usually try to take him down, but every now and then I see him start dropping their hands, so I'll throw that right as I shoot in. And I saw that with Kenny, so when I threw it in there, I mean, I knew it would land. I knew he was leaving it wide open, so I was pretty sure it was going to connect. And to be honest with you, when I saw him go down, that doesn't affect me that much. I mean, I get knocked out. Everybody gets knocked out every now and then. But the sound it made, I can't even describe. It sounded like a 2x4 snapping in half. Mm-hmm. It was. You can see in my face, there was like a moment of shock, and people think it was because of watching him fall back like that, but to be honest with you, the sound it made was what really shocked me the most.
Thankfully, you didn't go in there and give him a couple of extra shots for good measure, because those are the ones that usually, you know, make me cringe a little, but I think you realized after the initial punch that you hit him right on the button, and it was good night, Irene, for Kenny. But I want to ask you about, you know, your last fight was on March 15th, again for the Extreme Fighting League in Oklahoma, a victory over Dustin Phillips. And that was on national television, on HDNet Fights. What was it like for you to know that, you know, millions of people are watching your fight for the first time on live television? And is it any different when you're going into about, let's say, you know, your previous battle for Extreme Fighting League, knowing that, okay, this might end up on the internet, but people aren't actually watching me on television? Is there any difference to that, or is it really when you get in there, it's all the same?
I think just speaking for myself, I spent 10 years doing things that were aired on TV quite a bit, so I'm used to being in front of the camera, I'm used to doing all that stuff, so I don't think it really affected me that much at all. When I get in that mode where I'm focusing on whether I'm focusing on my skating run that I've planned or a fight that I'm about to step into, that's really the only thing on my mind. And my coach, Pete, out of Triton, is always laughing at me that he's always yelling things from the corner and saying this and saying that. And to be honest with you, I don't hear anything. I don't see the people. All I do is I focus on the task at hand. And the fact that it's on TV or not on TV really never even enters my mind.
All right, so when is your next fight? Do you have any ideas to when and where you'll be fighting next?
I've just signed a new contract with the WEC, so I'll be exclusively fighting in the WEC from now on.
Really?
And yeah.
Well, that's huge news. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You were sort of, if I would have known you signed with the WEC, off the bat, I would have spoke to you about that. That's very exciting. Do you know when you'll be debuting with them?
It's up in the air right now. I without a doubt, 100% have an opponent set for August 3rd. His name's Greg McIntyre out of Team Quest, I believe. He's somewhere in Portland, yeah, Team Quest. And that's set for August 3rd. Hopefully, it's nothing signed yet. They don't know what he's doing or anything yet, but there's that June 1st event, which is the Jens Pulver, Uriah Faber.
Right, yeah, Arco Arena.
WC card. Right. So I'm tentatively supposed to fight Rob Roy, the tap-out guy, in June 1st, but that's still up in the air, but definitely August 3rd.
And there was some talk that the June 1st card, the Uriah Faber, Jens Pulver card might be on pay-per-view. That's probably not going to be the case, right? It's going to air on Versus, as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I know there was talk about it. Just if they were going to have a pay-per-view event, it would be a good pay-per-view event. I mean, that's having Jens Pulver and Uriah on the same card, that's a big headline right there, but I'm not positive what they'll do with that. I know the WEC is looking towards going towards a pay-per-view, but we'll see. I mean, maybe they'll get that one on pay-per-view, maybe not.
So I'm always interested as to what the fighters take on is with regard to WEC. I mean, everyone knows that it's owned by Zuffa, and they're really trying to keep both entities as separate promotions. Is that for you, you know, obviously any fighter wants to make it to the UFC. It's the NBA, it's the NFL of mixed martial arts, but making it to the WEC, knowing that it's owned by Zuffa and that they're going to really back it and try to push it as a viable number two promotion, how does that make you feel? I mean, this to me is, you know, almost even better than making it on Elite XC, right?
Right. WEC is still in their, I guess, in their branding phase right now. I question whether are they using the WEC for a stepping stool to make it to the UFC, or are they legitimately trying to separate it and keep the WEC as its own big event? And for right now, it looks like with what they've done, especially from 170 down, 170, 55, 45, and 35, they've done a great job marketing their fighters and building that program. As far as the heavier weights goes, I honestly don't even know the names of any of the fighters that are fighting at the heavyweights. I think there's a fight actually tonight with the 205-pound belt on the line, and I don't know either of their names. But so as far as I'm concerned, I think it's a good organization. I've fought on King of the Cage, HDNet, all that stuff, and honestly, I would love to fight in the UFC, and the fact that the WEC is in some way related to the UFC is, I mean, it's a huge honor for me. And if someday down the road, after I finish this contract out, if they give me an opportunity to move up and fight in the UFC, I would love to do it.
So, okay, as of now, you're in the WEC, so I got to ask you, the champ at 155 is Jamie Varner, recently defeated Razor Rob McCullough. How long do you think that you'll be ready to face him? I mean, do you think you, after those two fights, would you be prepared and confident that you can, you know, give him a run for his money, or would you like a little more time and some more experience under your belt?
I mean, I'd fight him today if they gave me the opportunity to. I like my chances against someone like Jamie Varner just because I do my style of jiu-jitsu is a little bit more like Carlos Condit. I'm just as comfortable fighting off my back as I am fighting on top. So if Jamie Varner wants to shoot in and take me down and try to beat me up from the top, I'm more than comfortable. I can catch something from there. So that is a good matchup for me. I think he's at another level right now. But here over the next few fights, the good thing about the WEC is you see guys going in there and on their third fight in the WEC, they're getting title shots. So for me, I'd like to have three good fights in the WEC before potentially even thinking about moving up to that level. But yeah, I mean, if the opportunity came today, I would take it today. But I really like my chances, say, a year from now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's a great place for a guy like yourself, fairly new to the sport, and really will give you some great competition to grow and test your strengths against other great 155ers. If you didn't sign with the WEC, were you talking to any other promotions out there?
Yeah, I mean, the Elite XC just bought out King of the Cage, and they have a, seems like a great promotion going on. They signed some kind of deal with CBS, I believe.
Right.
So they look like they're growing and going in the right direction right now. Honestly, as a fighter, I am much more drawn to the UFC and WEC organizations just because of their future, their past, their history, and the stories that I hear for what they do for most of their fighters and the way they take care of them just seems like an organization I'd like to be part of.
All right, Mike. Well, it's been great talking to you and learning a bit more about your career, and awesome news that you're now going to be fighting for the WEC, whether it's in June, as you mentioned, or on that August card. Best of luck to you, and continued success from here on out.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.